If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship, WMIE, right here in Cocoa, Florida. And boy, I tell you what, Cocoa is undergoing a lot of construction change. I've been in various parts of the area here that I don't normally travel, and man, has there been some construction going on, and it's got to mean good things for the city of Cocoa, I would think. And Vieira's booming, and there's a lot of places where construction is going on, and so we're very thankful for the progress. Amen. Today I just want to invite you out to Merit Assembly of God. If you do not have a church home, we would love to have you come and visit with us and see if this is the time and we are the place where God would have you to worship and to serve. And you will find that my personality here on the radio is pretty much the personality I have when I'm at church, except for I'm a little more animated because I can't get this chair to roll around in the studio the way that I go from side to side and up and down. I like everybody to know that I'm looking at them and they are important. You see, Merit Assembly of God, I've seen what it looks like when all of the chairs are pretty much empty and they look better with people in them. And so I want them to know that I appreciate them. And so if you are looking for a church home, we would love to have you come and join us. If you're new to the area, we would love to have you come and worship the King with us. So we are in Psalm 18, and today we are going to begin reading at verse number 46. We covered that yesterday. We'll read to the end of the chapter, and we will see how far we get today. Verse number 46 says, "The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God who avenges me and subdues the peoples under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. Great deliverance he gives to his king and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore." So yesterday we were talking about how God had delivered people, and whenever there's that networking that takes place where people are giving their heart to Jesus and they come in and they add to the church, it's a blessing. They have a skill set, a gifting that the church is going to be able to be more impactful because of that gift. And then we realize that God is alive. We need to remind ourselves constantly that God is alive, that he's our rock, he's our fortress, and that he deserves to be exalted. There were a lot of songs that were coming out, through the years. I've been active in ministry for a number of decades now. I'm in it for four decades. Goodness gracious. And I've heard a lot of songs, and I've forgotten a lot of songs. But one song that, even though it was new a long time ago, that I haven't forgotten is "I Exalt Thee." "I Exalt Thee. For Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth." We need to remember to exalt God, especially when he has delivered us. We need to recognize, we kind of need to fortify that moment to memorialize that victory, if you will, so that we do not forget. Let's not forget what God has done in the past, because I have a feeling that our last battle might not be our final battle. I have a feeling that as long as we're breathing, that the enemy's going to make another run. And we need to remind ourselves that the God who delivered us in the past is also the God who will deliver us in the future. There was a king, and it said that as long as he sought the Lord, things went well. But there came a time when an enemy came against him, and he didn't go to God and say, God, would you deliver me from this enemy? He tried to appease that enemy, and it didn't go well. It didn't go well. The enemy might have been appeased, but it wasn't what God wanted, and he positioned himself for judgment instead of deliverance. Let's remember that Jesus is not just a historical figure, that he is not just a person that is going to impact our future. He's a right now God. He's a right now God. And so remember to exalt him. Verse 47 says, it is God who avenges me. So part of that deliverance is not just the fact that God is going to make a way for us to slip out the side, but it is also an opportunity where God shows up, and for all of the abuse that you've suffered, for all of the physical pain that you've gone through, for all of the afflictions that you've had to endure, God shows up with revenge and vengeance. And it says, you and I, we're not supposed to worry about the revenge factor. In fact, the Bible says this, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It belongs to him. Now, this word where it talks about it is God who avenges me, it means that he is very passionate about that. So I'm here today to remind you that if you're in need of deliverance, that God has not overlooked you. He has not forgotten you, and he's not going to let it go unnoticed. He's not going to let it go unchecked. He is going to step in. He is going to bring about the victory, and he's going to be extremely passionate about it. Okay? It is God who avenges me. Would you mind just repeating that with me this morning? It is God who avenges me for every attack that the enemy has launched against you. It is God who avenges me. It is God who avenges me. And it says, and subdues people under me. Now, when I saw that in verse number 47, it is God who avenges me and subdues the peoples under me. I thought of verse number 44, where David wrote, as soon as they hear of me, they obey me, the foreigners submit to me. That verse 44, where it says they submit to me or they come under mission to me, that is something that is voluntary, that God had created a quality of life in David that the people who did not know God in the surrounding areas saw what was taking place in David's life, in the kingdom of Israel, and they said, we want to experience that type of reality for ourselves. And so they came. Uriah the Hittite was one of David's mighty men. A lot of times when we read all of those ites that are talked about in the Bible, we think about that there were different tribes. And so the Benjamites, they were a tribe of Israel. So the Ephraimites, they were another tribe of Israel, but not the Hittites. The Hittites were some of those people who occupied the land of Canaan before Israel got there. And Uriah is identified as a Hittite. a person who saw what was taking place in David's kingdom and said, I want to be a servant to him, and became one of his mighty men. Now, with me saying that, now I want to tell you what happens whenever we do not recognize the value of other Christians, other believers in our lives, and we begin to attack them. If you remember, while Uriah was out fighting David's battle, David was actually committing adultery with Uriah's wife. She became pregnant. David brought Uriah back, trying to work off this this masquerade, and that didn't work. So David sent Uriah to the very front of the battle, where Uriah was killed. And David thought, "Whoo, that was a close one." Until Nathan, the prophet, showed up and said, God is fully aware of what you've done, and he's not pleased about it. There are going to be consequences for your action. Okay? Now, I want you to think about this. David took one of his mightiest men of valor and positioned him for destruction. And in doing so, weakened his own defenses. Uriah was willing to lay down his life for David. I mean, what would you give for somebody that says, you know what, through thick and thin, I'm going to be there with you. Through the good times and the bad times, I'm telling you, when you find those type of people, don't take them for granted. You know, I've got some people who've been with us when there wasn't much to shout about, and they have stuck with us for decades and served to the glory of God and are some of the finest people that I know. Don't take those people for granted, because if we sacrifice those relationships, we weaken the kingdom, and we weaken our own influence. So I've seen people, and they go from church to 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 church. And you think I'm exaggerating, but I'm not. And then they go back here again, here again, here again, here again, here again, here again, over and over and over. And at some point in time, as a pastor, you want to say, how many times do you want to go around the mountain before you stop looking for perfect people and you realize that God had actually set you up all along the way to be surrounded with people who were going to be a blessing to you? That's a huge thing. So there were people who voluntarily submitted. That would be like Uriah. There were other people, though, who refused to submit, and instead of getting the submission that you find in verse number 44, all of a sudden you find that God comes in with vengeance and says, they refused to submit. Now, submission is a voluntary thing. Okay? You cannot compel someone to submit. Okay? You can dominate them. You can subject them, but submission is something that is voluntary. Okay, so, over the past several months, we've had a lot, I'd say over the last 10 to 11 months, we've had a lot of things going on. And there were times when my wife was saying, okay, what is the mission? What can I do to help the mission? And a lot of times she'd want to do things that she really couldn't do. And I'd say, okay, this is how you can help us to fulfill this part of the mission right here. And then there are other times when the roles were reversed, where she knew everything that was needing to be done, And I fell into that support role because it's not about me and it is not about her. It's not about you or me. It is about us. It is about the body of Christ and saying, you know what? There are going to be times when you're going to need me to come alongside and help. And there are going to be times when I'm going to need you to come alongside and help. And if we do that, great. But for those people who have positioned themselves in hostility towards the people of God, I need you to realize that that's not going to be a path to success. It's not going to be an enduring path. It's going to be a painful path because God says, I'm going to avenge every attack that his children have undergone, and he's going to subdue the enemies. Now, I just want to put that in perspective. That means that the devil is a defeated foe. He, you know, his weaponry has been disarmed. He's still active, but he is a defeated foe. He's a defeated foe. I tell this story. I mean, we grew up on the edge of town, and my grandparents and my great grandparents lived out in the country. I mean, they were only a few miles away, but it was a completely different quality of life. And I remember going over and seeing my great grandmother, who raised her own chickens, and I'd watch as she would go out into the yard and grab one of those chickens and she'd get it ready, you know, for what was going to be dinner probably the next day. And she'd wring that chicken's neck. And I will tell you this, that chicken was never more active than when it was dead. It would run around the yard. It would run around and, you know, if you've heard the expression chicken with its head cut off, that would be very much what it was like. It is completely and totally dead, but it is running around and you would never think that it was in a condition where its life was over, but it actually was. I want you to understand that the devil knows his time is short, knows he's a defeated foe, knows that God has given all authority on heaven and earth to Jesus, and Jesus has commanded us to go and said he's coming with us, the Holy Spirit is coming with us. He knows that he's in trouble, that the word says that Jesus came to destroy the devil and he came to destroy the works of the devil. And so I tell people, if the devil is very active in your life, it's because he knows he's already defeated. He knows he's already defeated. I want you to begin to have the perspective, not a position of arrogance, but a position of thanksgiving, that it's God who puts his foot down, literally, who establishes his throne and says, these are my people, and I am going to make sure that they have the life that they are supposed to have. And I'm going to clear the path. I'm going to clear the path of their enemies. He subdues the people. He delivers me from my enemies. Okay? So we've already kind of talked about that. But I will say this. I do like the fact that it's plural. Now, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers. So our enemies may be many, but our God is mighty. Okay, so expect for that deliverance. And that's the same word as before. He's going to make a way of escape. He's going to make a way for you to be delivered. And it's going to cause where if you look up at verse number 43, it says, you have made me the head of the nations. In verse number 48, it says, you also lift me up above those who rise against me. I will tell you this, the Bible says that anger is never going to accomplish God's purposes. Okay, we can't use our carnality to accomplish spiritual purposes. That doesn't work. God wants to position us. He says, "You also lift me up against those who rise against me." So, how does the Bible, how does that say? God says this, he opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. To the humble, he says, I want you to come to this higher place, and to the arrogant, he says, you're going to need to take a lower seat. It's not because God is just being indiscriminately cruel or anything like that. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And if there's anything that I have found in my Christian walk, it is that people get really serious about seeking God whenever they are facing adversity. And then God delivers them. God delivers them. Look at what it says. You have delivered me from the violent man. Okay? And it's that word is a violent or oppressive or a hurtful individual. Okay? And so if you are going through something and you find that the enemy that you are dealing with is, there's one more meaning to that word, and it's wrong. And you say, it is just wrong that the people of God are going through this. Whenever you see something, it says, you know what? It's wrong that the people of God are going through this. I want you to follow that statement up and say this, but God will deliver me from those who are wrongfully oppressing his people. If you're dealing with a person who's just flat out violent, okay, let's talk about something that a lot of people won't talk about. If you are in an abusive situation, get out. Find a safe place. You are not called to stay in that situation where you are being abused. You can be in a safe place and pray for that person, but you don't have to stay there and grin and bear it. That's not God's will. It's just not. Okay? If he made a way of escape for David, who was being abused by Saul, won't he make a way for you as well? Okay? And so I want to encourage you. If you're in a situation and you keep making excuses for the other person's violent behavior, if they keep blaming you for their violence, you need to find a safe place. You need to get someone to intervene in that situation and get that person the help that they need, because they're not glorifying God in that situation. Okay? So, you have delivered me from the violent person, the oppressive person, and that thing that is causing me pain. If you're in a situation, and I'm going to put this in a sickness context right now. If you're just experiencing, you know, chronic pain, I just want you to begin to say this: God, you have delivered me. It's past tense. You have delivered me from this issue that's causing me pain. How does it end? How does it end? Verse number 49 says this: Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. Don't ever forget to say thank you for God's great deliverance. You know, you read a lot in the Bible about widows. You don't read that much about widowers, males who survived their wives dying, unless it was wives who died giving child or during childbirth. But a lot of times the men died because every spring kings went off to war. They didn't go off by themselves. They took the people from their land with them. And as long as they were victorious, that's great. But if there was somebody who was victorious, there was somebody who was also defeated. And so whenever the soldiers would return, they wouldn't come back arrogant. They would come back thankful because they had everything to lose. Let's not forget, when God has delivered us from the contentious and the strivings, when God has delivered us from those who are violent and seeking to do us harm, when God delivers us from all of that, let's not forget to say, God, I just want to say thank you. Now, Bishop Merton Clark and I, we went on a trip one time, on a missions trip, and on that trip we found ourselves in a very precarious situation. This was back in the 1990s, and on the way home we were able to laugh about it, and it's like, Bishop, you can't be making me laugh like that. I'm driving this car. I can't see because I'm laughing so hard that tears are welling up in my eyes. But on that trip, which there was a very life-threatening situation that arose, and that was what we were talking about, when I got home, the first thing that I did was say, God, I want to thank you for getting me back safely. If you have been healed, you know, my dad said something here recently. I was talking to him about healing. He said, do you realize that we have been healed so many times in order to get to be able to live as long as we have lived? And you know, it's important to remember that. A lot of times when we're in our current battle, we forget about all of the previous victories. Don't do that. God has been, will be, and is right now your deliverer. Make sure you tell him thank you. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
He is jealous for me, loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us. Oh,